Or you can get up on Sunday morning, get ready to come to church, and just before you walk out the door, set it back an hour, come on to church, and you'll be here for Sunday school. And or those that come to Sunday school, you'll be here at 9 o'clock instead of 10. But at any rate, be praying for Joe Gordon. Joe will be traveling this week back from over in North Carolina. He's been over there taking care of some issues regarding his son-in-law's death, and had to stay a little longer than he thought. So remember him in your prayers this week. All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, I just want to read one verse here and use it kind of as a starting point, kind of take it out of context. But in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul, writing to the church there at Corinth, who had multiple problems, said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Paul recognized there was a problem about the gifts there at Corinth. And he also apparently recognized that it was based on ignorance. And so he starts out this passage saying, "I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." Now, I want to talk to you this morning about ignorance. And I know that that's a word that sometimes we, you know, throw around a good bit, talk about people being ignorant. And I'm not talking about worldly knowledge. I'm not talking about educational levels. But it is a very dangerous thing today to be ignorant of God's Word. And I am absolutely fascinated at times when I have discussions or conversations with people that many of whom grew up in church, have been in church most of their life, at the level of ignorance that exists among people about the Word of God. And it's as though people don't really see the need to come to an understanding. In other words, they've been taught based on tradition, they've been taught based on what their religion has taught them, and yet they're ignorant of so many Bible truths, as I myself was until I began to really study the Bible. When I came to Chattanooga in 1972, 25 years old, I had been preaching for 7 years already. As it turned out, I wasn't even saved and trusted the Lord as my Savior. But had you asked me at that time who the apostle to the Gentiles was, I would not have known. If you had asked me what books in the Bible written by the apostle Paul, I couldn't have told you. All the messages that I preached were out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I was ignorant of the Scriptures. I was ignorant of the fact that God had a book that He had preserved for us. And on I could go with that. Well, why was that? Well, number one, I had not been taught, but number two, I had not personally taken the time to study. And so when I went and got me a King James Bible and I began to read that Bible and I read the New Testament through, by the second time I had done that, I saw that there were differences in the earthly ministry of Christ and the things that Paul taught in Romans through Philemon. Now, that was just a beginning. And I began to listen. I found out there were other men that believed that. And I began to listen to tapes and so forth. And I began to study as I never had before. And based on that study, I came to some truths that I became established in. That's why Paul says, look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2, you're all familiar with the verse, obviously. But if you think about the ignorance that we find among people today concerning the things of the Lord, we can ask ourselves why, and we find the answer in the Word of God. Why is it that people don't know the things that I just mentioned a moment ago? Why is it that people believe, like we talked about last Sunday, that they're still under the law? Why is it people don't understand the doctrine of grace? Why are people ignorant of the truth? Well, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Bible has a lot to say about knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Now, why would it be that fools hate knowledge? Well, many times people hate knowledge because it exposes the error of that which they believe. But there is nothing more liberating than knowing and understanding the truth. And you're not going to get that simply by listening to one message or two messages a week by a preacher, or even several messages. Real knowledge is going to come through study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, it's interesting to me that the principles of learning and knowledge, people apply those in all areas of their life, but when it comes to the Bible and doctrine, they act as though they can operate on the basis of ignorance and get along just fine. I was thinking about, as I was putting these ideas together for the message this morning, back years ago, and I mean really years ago, when I was living in the house where Billy and Stephanie live now, when we moved in that house, it had about 1,000 square feet, and so as the family grew and we had more children and it got a little crowded, I decided to make a room out of the den, out of the garage rather, make a den out of the garage, and then later decided to add a bedroom onto the back of the house with a bath and walk-in closet and so forth. When I told my wife what I was going to do, she said, "Surely you're not going to do that yourself." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because you never have done anything like that." And I said, "Well, if other people can do it, I can do it." She said, "I don't think so." And so I had never built anything. I mean, I hadn't even built a doghouse. And so I went down to the library. And by the way, there wasn't the internet. There wasn't HGTV. It wasn't even cable, I don't guess, when we started doing that. So I went to the library. And I got some books on construction. Well, not being much of a reader, I'm more of a visual kind of guy. And so when I would see houses going up, on Saturdays, I would go over, take me a lawn chair, and I remember one time in particular, coming out in the Middle Valley, and they were building a house, and they had the foundation, and I asked them, I said, "When are you going to frame that up?" And they said, "We'll be working over the weekend." I said, "Can I watch you?" And he said, "As long as you stay out of the way." So I watched them. And I watched them frame that house. I watched how they put the plates down and build the stick walls, they call them, and the two-by-fours, and I, when the guy would come over, I asked questions about how many two-by-fours to use, and on it went. And so I got me a notebook, and I began to make notes. And so when I started building the den, we didn't have hardly any money. As the old saying goes, we were so poor we couldn't pay attention, but I was wanting to build it. And so I went down to the salvage yard, and I bought used lumber. Almost free. Got it almost free. Pull nails out of it. I don't know where it goes. But the bottom line is this. I built the room. I had it all just about done. And all the studs were up. And it was time to wire it. Mary said, "Who's going to do that?" I said, "I am." She said, "Oh, no." Well, she was right. Because eventually the room almost burned down. Because of an electrical error I made. and putting a wire back behind the wood heater. But I thought it'd be all right because, after all, I had this brick stuff in front of it. But when I went to do the wiring, that was kind of scary because, you know, that stuff will bite you and it don't feel good. So I went to the library again and got another book, and it had all these diagrams. And so I did all the wiring. And you know what? We had a room. Why? Because I studied. Why? Because I was interested in it. Now, there's a lot of things that I've tried studying, and I never got them. You know, I'm obviously not the brightest bulb in the lamp sometimes. And I had started out wanting to be a dentist or a pharmacist. And then I took my first year of chemistry. And if it hadn't been for the guy sitting in front of me, I'd have failed. Because he's a little skinny fella, and I could. And I passed with a D. And then, you know, there was these other subjects they said you had to have, and I said, I can't be a dentist or a pharmacist. I have to be something else. And at that time, I didn't know what, so I enrolled in the University of Alabama and got over there and didn't like it, came back, went to a junior college, and I ended up majoring in Mary the first 2 years. And took me 4 years to complete a 2-year college. It wasn't that I was just stupid. I was just lazy and I didn't like to study. And the same was true. But when I began studying the Bible, I found that the same principles applied as it does in learning anything else. You're not going to learn it all in a week. You're not going to learn everything you need to know in 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks, and you're not going to have all the knowledge you need to have in order to function as a saved individual properly in the body of Christ unless you study. And so when Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, there's a reason for that, folks. And it's to, in rightly dividing the word of truth, we see truth that can liberate us and make us free from the bondage that religion wants to place on people. Now, I just want to mention several areas where I find today that people are ignorant, or several things they're ignorant about, particularly when it comes to the things of the Lord. Look back in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, I read a post on Facebook yesterday by a friend of mine that went to Walmart to buy a heater for their camper. And she gave a narrative of what happened. Sometimes when I go through these lines and try to pay for something, I'm wondering how those people ever had enough sense to drive to work, much less work there. And I don't mean that to be mean. It's just, it's the dumbing down of our society in many areas. And this lady said she was there and she was ready to pay for the heater, and so the girl said, wow, we sell a lot of these heaters. Do you know if they're any good? And the lady said, well, I hope so. Said, I looked it up on the internet and it says that they're pretty good. And she said, we're getting it for our camper. And of course, right on the box it said electric heater. And so the girl asked her, she said, does this work when the power goes off? And she said, no, it being an electric heater, it requires electricity. She said, oh, I don't think I'd want one of those. I want one that'll work when the power goes off. Well, I don't know what level of education the girl had. Maybe she's just trying to make conversation. But, you know, you would hope that people that are waiting on you are educated at least to the extent that they would know an electric heater requires electricity. I'm fascinated when I go to stores and ask questions and people start answering those, and I know what they're telling me is not right. I was looking at some cars one time, and when I go to look at a car, I can assure you I know everything about that car that I'm looking for. And so this guy was showing me a car, and he began to tell me all the features on this car. And I was shaking my head like that. And he said, what are you shaking your head for? I said, because this car doesn't have that on it. Well, how do you know that? I said, because it's an XLE, and only the Limited has the power seats that are have memory on them. And this one doesn't have the cruise control that where when you get behind a car, if you get too close, it cuts it off. That's what he's telling me it had. I said, now that's on some of the Highlanders, but it's not on the one I'm buying or looking at. He said, wow, you ought to be a car salesman. And I'm thinking, no, you need to learn the cars that you're trying to sell. You see, I've been in different professions, and when I was a young man, when you were going into a profession, you were trained. McKesson Robbins, that I worked for, the drug company I worked for, had a year training program before you could step in a drugstore to try to sell anything. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people, they get training, but if you go to seminary or go to school to learn the Bible, you don't really learn it. You know, why? Because they don't teach you the Bible. They teach you books. They teach you what somebody writes about the Bible. And so many people today are ignorant of God's Word. And in religion, if people are going to a church where the preacher doesn't teach the Word of God right and divided, they end up going to be ignorant. And so you start talking to people and they make excuses. Well, I just haven't studied as much as you have. Well, why not? Well, you're a preacher. You see, folks, it's important that we understand the need for study and to know the truth. In Romans 10, the reason I want to start here is Paul makes a statement about the nation Israel. And the Israelites, like Paul himself, were generally educated people, particularly in relation to the Bible, the Old Testament. And so Paul says there in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You see, there's a lot of people in religion today, they're very zealous. They'll knock on doors, they'll ride around and tell people what they believe. But when you begin to challenge that which is the formatted belief system they've been given to teach you, they don't know what to say. I had two Mormon boys come by one day, and I was out in the yard, and they stopped, and I knew who they were before they said anything, because they had on their white shirts and little black ties, and they were riding bicycles. And only people that do that are Mormons. And so when they walked up, they said, "Could you have a minute? Can we talk to you?" I said, "Sure. What you want to talk to me about?" I said, "Well, we want to tell you about our church." And I said, "Well, what church you go to?" And they said, "The Church of the Latter-day Saints." And I said, "Well, let me ask you something. Do you fellows know what the gospel is?" One of them said, "Well, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." I said, "No, I didn't say the gospels. I said, what is the gospel?" And they said, "Well, Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I said, "No, that's not the gospel. It's part of the gospel, but that's not the gospel." And as they usually do, they had one that was older and a younger guy. And so the older guy kind of took over the conversation. He said, "So what do you believe the gospel is?" I said, "It's not what I believe." I said, "The Bible says that the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And the young guy looked at me. He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know what? That gospel was given to the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote 13 books in your Bible, Romans through Philemon. And Paul said that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth." Now, fellas, I want to ask you something. Why are you out here doing what you're doing when you don't even know what the gospel is? And the young guy, you could just tell, it's just, wow. And so I began to talk. And the older fellow said, "Sir, I can tell we're being a bother to you." And he grabbed the young guy by the arm, and they went and got on their bicycle. So he didn't want the younger fellow hearing, because what they were presenting was what they had been told to present, what was scripted and written down. And when it went against what they believe or what they had written, they had no answers. And people don't, folks. And it's not that we glory and boast in that. It's sad. It's sad. Paul said they have a zeal of God. Those Israelites were zealous. Well, Paul was zealous. I mean, think about Paul. He was having people put to death. Paul was zealous of the law. He was zealous of that religion. As touching the law, he said, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he said, the same is true of my brethren. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now notice the next statement, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, what is the righteousness of God that Paul's talking about? It is that imputed righteousness that God gives to every person who trusts His Son as their Savior as a free gift. Back in Romans chapter 5, Paul makes it clear about that righteousness. He says there in Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, notice now, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Well, you see, what Israel's problem was is that they were still resting in the law. They were still zealous of the law, and Paul said they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Well, where could they get that knowledge? By listening to Paul. His preaching, his teaching. That's why he went from city to city. And every city he went to during the book of Acts, where was the first place he went? Into the synagogue. And he preached to those Jews that were zealous of the law. And Paul said back in Romans chapter 3 that the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You see, Israel was ignorant of that because they would not believe. Many of them heard it and still didn't believe it. There were those that heard Peter and James and John preaching that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They saw Him perform miracles and still refused to believe. They were willfully ignorant of the truth of God's Word because it interfered with their religious system. Well, don't you see that in people today? How many people today are ignorant of God's righteousness? Every person who preaches that salvation is by works or works has anything to do with salvation, they are ignorant of God's righteousness. They don't understand that God made Jesus Christ to be sin for them and that simply by trusting in Him, they can be saved. Why don't they believe that? Why don't they see that? Because some preacher, some teacher, some religion has taught them that you got to be good enough. You got to join the church. You got to be baptized. You got to give your money. You got to perform works of righteousness. And all of that ends up in confusion and ignorance of the truth. Look, if you will, over in Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17. In Acts chapter 17, I saw a post on Facebook the other day by a man. I believe it was on Wednesday. He said, come and join us for our Wednesday night study and experience the presence of God. Well, I'm sitting in my den there and I was experiencing the presence of God right there. People talk about God's house. I mean, ignorant statements. And they do it with every good intent. What's the answer? Truth. Preaching the truth. Showing people the truth. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because it's liberating. Notice in Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, in verse 17, therefore disputed he, talking about Paul, verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily, and with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. Now see, these people were not, the people that encountered Paul, they weren't ignorant in the things of the world. There were those that were Epicureans. They were philosophers. They had their own religion. And these were not ignorant men as far as the world goes. Then certain philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. I appreciate what Mark said this morning about teachers feeling the need to present some new thing. I think the writer of Ecclesiastes made it clear there's nothing new under the sun. And we might run across things from time to time in the Scriptures that would be new to certain people, but the intent is not to try to impress people by preaching some new thing. The truth of salvation by grace is the same message it was back there when the guy wrote the old rugged cross 100 years ago. He says, the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to tell or hear some new thing. Like, have you heard that the earth is flat? Have you heard that, the stars are not actually rocks that glow out there in space? They're actually angels. Heard that one. Have you heard that the North Pole doesn't actually exist? It's only pictures. And that there's military station up there, so you can only go so far. I've heard all those things, folks. You know what all that is? Ignorance. Some new thing. And people that call themselves Bible believers jump right on the bandwagon and fall for that stuff and get involved in it. And if they want to believe that, that's fine. But, you know, when they begin to accuse people of not believing the Bible because you don't believe that, then there's a problem. Some people just have to have something new. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. By the way, that some new thing, some friends that are really into conspiracies, they got all excited when they found out there was going to be more information released on the Kennedy assassinations. If you're one that got excited, if you're listening over the internet, if you're listening over Facebook Live, or you here in the auditorium, just don't get too excited. You're not going to find out anything new. If there's anything new that would be detrimental, they wouldn't release it. Say, but Donald Trump's going to release it. No, if those that are behind the stuff that people say were behind it, don't want it released. Donald Trump probably dead by tomorrow. Donald Trump's not running things. Well, I'm about to get into conspiracy theories myself here. I better shut up. Paul says, he stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Notice now, 'Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" You see, these people were so superstitious that they built shrines and altars and monuments to their gods, and just so that they wouldn't offend any, there was the sun god, the moon god, the god of the stars and the planets and all these different things. And just to be sure they didn't offend any of the gods, they made an altar to the unknown god. "Held your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown god, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" God, now notice the next statement. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Folks, get a hold of that, mark that, and get it out of your mind that God's presence is in a building. God's presence is in individuals. You are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells within you. The Old Testament, God dwelt among men in that tabernacle, in the temple. Today, Paul makes it clear. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. People ignorantly worship, declaring things about God that are not so. Verse 25, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands." What's he talking about? They made altars. They made shrines. They erected buildings. The temple of Diana there in Ephesus. These great temples. These shrines. He said he's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. How many monuments today, the temples, and I don't want to just pick on the Catholic Church, but if you look at the money that has been spent, I had a special one night on, I think it was on 2020 or something like that, on the Catholic churches and the millions and millions of dollars that had been poured into the building of those buildings. In countries where people were literally starving to death, third world countries. And they made the statement, and I was surprised that they did this on the news, that in every third world country where poverty was the greatest, the Catholic religion was the predominant religion. And those people give out of ignorance, and the money is taken. And it's put into gold and silver and all these other things. And people believe that there's the presence of God when they go in there. And they kneel and they bow and all that kind of stuff. God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You see, how many times have you heard somebody say, "Now we're going to worship God with our tithes and our offerings"? This ought to be the most important part of the service, when we worship God with our tithes and offerings. Paul said every man ought to give as he purposes it in his own heart. True worship, if you break the word down, it's like worship. It's when true worship is acknowledging all that God is and all that God has done for us. Look back in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Most of the religious worship today that goes on is worthless. And I say that Not to just try to belittle people. There's not that kind of thing. But look at what goes on. Look at what comes forth out of the mouths of the preachers and the teachers. Now, I'm not saying all, but a large majority of that which goes on today in the name of religion is simply, it's not worship. Oh, I guess it is worship. It's worship of the system. It's worship of man. It's worship of the denomination or whatever. But the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is not worshipped with men's hands. Paul said, you ignorantly worship these gods. And when anybody worships God in a manner that's not prescribed in the Word of God, then it is generally out of ignorance. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians 14. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. People are ignorant about how to worship God. You know what real worship is? Real worship is acknowledging the value of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Real worship is acknowledging that God sent His Son to a world that was undeserving and provided a sacrifice for our sins and provided for us salvation by grace through faith. It's not some physical thing that we touch or taste or become a part of. Worship is honoring and acknowledging the value of that which is worshipped. And we worship God in the Spirit, not through the flesh. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, Paul said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If anybody makes a statement about the Apostle Paul and the scriptures that he wrote being less authentic or less valuable than the other scriptures, that person is ignorant. Paul said, if any man be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Those at Corinth were questioning Paul's authority. When we went through the book of 2 Corinthians, we saw that over and over again. And notice what Paul says again. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You see, people can be ignorant in a lot of ways. But the most dangerous of all is to be ignorant of God's Word and ignorant of God's righteousness, His imputed righteousness, and ignorant of how we're to worship Him and honor Him, and ignorant of the Word of God rightly divided. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, He said, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. God has always, for people throughout the ages, He has provided truth through revelation. In the Old Testament, we have the prophets. We have the men of God that spoke forth the Word of God. What did mankind in general do? They rejected the prophets. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to earth. And for 3 years, Jesus Christ went about teaching the gospel of the kingdom. The 12, those ministers, those disciples, preached the gospel of the kingdom. They ended up crucifying the Lord. The truth, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The truth was made manifest in a fleshly, physical sense. What did they do? They hung Him on a cross. They crucified Him. He died. He was buried and raised. And for 40 days, he instructed the 12 about how to perform that ministry he had given them and taught them to perform. And that's exactly what they did. And what did the nation of Israel do as a whole? They rejected it. And so God saved the Apostle Paul. He raised him up when he could have brought his wrath upon him. He gave to Paul the revelation of the mystery, the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. And what have people done? They've rejected it. And when the church is gone and taken away, whoever remains, they'll reject that as well. Men reject the truth, and men are ignorant of the truth because the influence of Satan himself that has been prevalent since the garden. What did the devil do in the garden? He attacked the truth. He distorted what God had said. And he lied. And he's still lying to people today. And based on believing that lie, people are ignorant. We don't say that gleefully or happily. It's sad that people today are ignorant of God's word. And we ought to take every opportunity we can, not in a boastful, not in a proud, not in an egotistical way, to make known the truth to people. Because what does the Bible say? The truth shall make you free. The truth of God's word. We're not to be ignorant of it. We're to study. We're to be equipped, as Mark was talking about this morning, as ministers of his word. Paul said, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. We need to be a beacon of truth and get the truth out in every way that we possibly can, through written word, preach word, or however we can do it. And we ought to do it for Christ's sake. Because, listen, there was a time when every one of us was ignorant of the things that we now know. And we learned those things by people teaching and our own personal study. And as Paul said, what do we have to glory in? Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And every one of us would have to admit to that. It's not that we have some kind of superior intellect. It's truth comes by belief. And the ignorance of the truth comes by, just like we read in Acts chapter 17, by people replacing truth with error. Would you stand me for prayer?